to close the dying position which was taken and stipulated to relieve advocating going from history. So I just want to welcome, take the opportunity of welcoming advocate for himself together with this entourage. And also take the opportunity of welcoming representatives from the presidency who are here with us. And take the opportunity of welcoming everybody who's here. I'm sure that this is our support meeting. The best meeting took place on the 14th. Tuesday and this month, and we did adopt a program. So at this point in time, we will continue with the new additions for today.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, you referred to our first meeting last week, and my call is on behalf of the ACDP. I requested a legal opinion as to your suitability to chair this meeting. Following objections from the physician. Could you give us an indication as to what progress has been made with that legal opinion and on the issue of your refusal that has also been considered? Thank you, Chairman.
Yes, because we are a democratic institution, we did allude to the best of our opposition and we did ask the parliamentary legal team to seek that legal opinion, and I asked the parliamentary legal team to deal with the letter now before we can get into the actual case regulation.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Yes, indeed, we did receive the request looking to the issues that were raised in the last meeting. Two issues came to our attention. Firstly, it was basically how the committee was to proceed with the objection that was raised by the opposition to the suitability of the court chair. And the second issue was whether there is anything in law that prevented the relevant court chair from serving as court chairperson of the joint power committee. Having considered this matter, we have advised both chairpersons that in terms of a rotation of the joint rules of parliament, with specific reference to the charges that were made against the court chair, a rotation of the joint rules of parliament reading as follows. If any information concerning an assembly or council member comes before a joint committee, the committee may not proceed upon that information, but must report it without delay to the speaker or the chairperson of the council as may be appropriate. But because the issue or the objection directed was the court chair from the National Assembly, we are recommended to the court chair that the matter be referred to the speaker to handle the next step as money has by the rotating. The second issue was whether there is any law that prevents the relevant court chair from serving as court chairperson of the committee. We looked at the eligibility of members of parliament. And we could not find anything in law that must emphasize on the issue that was brought before us, unless there's evidence that might come later. But based on what we had before, there's nothing that prevents the honorable member from executing his functions as a member of parliament. Thanks.
Yes, sir. Yeah, maybe the best thing to do now is to proceed with the deliberations and without And we waste a lot of time advocating to Joseph to make a presentation before the actual committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, for the actual committee, and thank you, members of the committee, for this opportunity.
Can I just ask you what document will be made available?
Which document?
Of the presentation of our...
Yeah, I did ask him to make a document available. Unfortunately, he didn't, precisely because we did say to him we should not rehash or
reinvent
the wheel. That's my favorite sentence. So, I don't know. Presentation we gave you would speak off the cuff, but at a certain point, let's give him a benefit of the doubt for now.
Well, thank you for coming here. When written submissions have been made to the commission, and better than that, the president will sit of the court from the Shimana asked me to make a better presentation, which I did, and which must have been submitted to the parliament. I hope that the members of the committee will have to do that. Thank you. Let me start off by saying that when Dr. Shimana indicated my integrity in terms of the final report, she did not only indicate my personal integrity, it was an indication of the integrity of the institution, the National Wrestling Authority, and all the institutions whose work directed to me, they were indicated. It was also an indication that is very satisfying, not only to me personally, but also to the International Association of Prosecutors, who have given me an award for protecting the principle of prosecutorial independence. Maybe this is a time when the commission was instituted and there was no report. This is very satisfying. Dr. Shimano has concluded that this is restored to the office of the National Director. She found me as a person who impressed her in so far as my interest. She found me a person of unimpeachable interest, integrity, and credibility. And that I've got a passion to execute my function without fear being of oppression. I thank you for that. The President of the Republic, on the 8th of December 2008, when he made his announcement on my removal from office, further said that the question of my professional competence is not in question. I also thank the president for that statement. Now, in view of this indication on my integrity, as well as my professional competence, there's very little to suggest that and therefore not a fitting of a person. We all thought that this was part of the terms of reference of the Commission of Inquiry. The President, nevertheless, decided to remove me from office. Basically around one important issue, an issue of national security that was not sensitive enough
on issues of national security.
Mm-hmm. I think I want to spend some time on this particular aspect. But also, I'll spend a little bit of time on the other assignments that Dr. Shinola made. Just a little bit of background on the question of my insufficient sensitivity or appreciation of national security issues. Because part of me was taking that from my own personal question. Definitely, the member of the Christian movement at the young age, having been exposed to national security, working in the bank organization and joining that bank organization later on in my life, being a foreign officer from the season, I have been exposed to security. Having witnessed the rape in my cell in 1982, when 42 people were killed, I was exposed to the issue of sexuality. Considering my next time again, I was sensitized to the issue of sexuality. But then, the question of the damage of his being causing the security threat to possible virus. On coming back to the country, working as one of the special advisors to the dead Minister of Justice, Dr. Dala Omar, I was then asked to chair the ministerial committee that was looking into the transformation of the civilian intelligence service. I was asked to chair that committee. Made central recommendation. That was another opportunity that exposed me to issues of national security. After we finished that work, I was then asked again by the to serve as the deputy chair of yet another commission that was looking into the transformation of defense intelligence, which was completed and completed. I'm not a security expert, but I have insufficient exposure to the conversation. I find it strange that I say that you for being sensitive to issues of national security. Have been appointed the Director General in this particular process. I can sit in the National Security Council of the discussing issues of national security. Have to be a core chair of the Justice, Crime Prevention, and Security Justice. Our have to participate in the drafting of a comprehensive and integrated national security strategy. Our response to the security. I'm not going to sit here and buy myself as a perfect human being. But I must say that I have said it so. Therefore, it came to me to find that the real privilege for removal from office is based around the issues of national security. Which issue I will later discuss. Let me also say that had it been
meet the demand of pressure. I do not think I will sit here addressing what I know. One is but said, I do not owe it because I have choose. And I'm not going to touch which was actors. Probably because of justice. I do not think of this addressing this case. Had I not been still as support, my own auto force and my allegiance to the law that is not the fact, I thought for myself. Let me quickly address the final argument, but also the requirement. Let me just say, I should eat what I have to do. And I'm addressing this hope, not as out of personal interest, but because I want to be reinstated to my position if I don't do that. But I feel that it is a trend of success. With this one, what to access? As members of the who have taken an overhaul, feels getting a bunch of PDs. This is a challenge that this one has, and I wish well in his preparation. Dr. Schnuller is fine by the Chinese. I will start with the history of the GSO. This follows a memo that I submitted to National Treasury in November 2006, wherein I was informing National Treasury that the GSO was a public entity as well as the I was not doing this out of my own personal views. It was because the law enjoyed the head of the institution to, without the report, if the institution or entity that is heading was to be served. Therefore, the legal intent is the legal obligation on the part of the institution. And this follows three methods that I submitted to the minister. And I had to ask for the so that in order find that what I did was in accordance with the law. She has no problem with that. The only problem she has is my failure to inform me before the vote of faith. Now I've been engaged on this issue with the minister on a number of occasions. As I guess, by the 3 minutes that I sent to the so that's the little thing that has been aided me. Though Dr. Shivana assured me that I have an obligation, that the question of notifying treasure is not a question, it's a matter of carrying out the law. The second issue relates to the sanctions, these operations that they will be maintained. This was in August of 2005. Now, this has never been an issue at all until my suspension. And the reason is not clear. For what is the government insufficient? It is true that I did obtain the work. For a specialty. Only getting that, I then informed the President of the Republic before the execution of the warrant. I informed the Deputy President, I informed the Minister of Justice, and I informed the DG in the first place. import execution of the evidence. Importing this was in a proceeding of the fact that this is a very serious matter. I did this because I wanted to make sure that a conducive environment is created within which we could execute. So that all necessary steps are taken to ensure that there are no problems that relate to security, whether it be access to classified information or documents or any other situation that might arise which might mitigate against the proper execution of the law. I felt informed Reverend that I would ask the head of the DSO in the House to have a discussion with him prior to the execution of the warrant, so that they could then attend to all the necessary security measures that had been put in place to make sure that the security of the human beings, of the documents and information that's kept there, is not in any way jeopardized. They give me an arrangement where to make sure that nobody who has not been vetted and received a top clearance would need to see a top clearance would have access to. Those arrangements were made. But tomorrow also, we have to give you that as well. There was no violation of the issues in so far as the information that was held. But even when you were the hearings were made of the computer, this was done in the presence of an IT expert in the presidency, as well as in the presence of the IT expert. In so far as any dispute, there was an arrangement that was agreed as to how those documents would be handled. Now, 2 years later, this becomes one of the reasons why I have been so happy. The parents, at the time, was only Malawian ministries, where the tradition also was that the DSO or the NTE was in our, it was said the DSO later. That was correct. But it was involved in an intelligence method. That we should not have been involved in giving assistance to the DPP of Malawi. Now, this follows the request from the Director of Public Prosecution in Malawi for mutual legal assistance. Now, we have got a law that is used to subsequent. It's known as the International Cooperation in Criminal Justice Act, which provides all the steps that are necessary. The Department of Justice is the central authority when it comes to mutual assistance requests. On the receipt of the request, I then sent it to the Department of Justice for its consideration. When the Deputy of Malawi wanted to have a meeting with me, I agreed and I invited the Deputy of Justice to be part of that meeting. And it was not an intelligence operation at all. Something which also Dr. Shimara agrees is not. And it was a pure legal request that was dealt with in terms of the law. Now, the reason is that I should have informed the Minister of Affairs that was brought to assassinate the President of Malawi, immediately. But the state of that, I immediately called that the request is sent to the Department of Justice so that it is attached in terms of the law.
But another instance where I think the Department is. If I cannot say that it is introducing status in the labor and status in aid, and we go again, Dr. Chinwan said that I did what was expected of me in terms of the law.
May I just ask you not to stop me from talking, that how far you said to go the mistake I did in the meeting when I started, just to explain to you on the time constraints, from between 10 and 1, that you didn't have anything.
I'll put two more.
Okay. Not as well.
So that was the most other person. The other one relates to the grounds of the court. Where again, firstly, Dr. Chinwata says that his investigation was not authorized by me, that I've never given any go ahead for that investigation. But the principle is that I should have stopped the investigation, that I should have informed the minister of my area, and that I did not take action against other people. And again, I must say here that when I was the first court, the investigation was already done. What was work in progress was the actual preparation of the report, which was the criminal report. And the head of the case said that as justified, they will not get any on the matter. Which I did. So, there was nothing to stop. Second, when I now had an opportunity to receive the final report, that when I actually have the report, and I realized that the DSO had exceeded his mandate, I had gave a fair discussion with the head of the DSO that document had no status in the DSO. Because if there are issues that are outside of the mandate of the DSO. But also, Master Massa was not a of the report. That aspect, there are other issues that could lead to a criminal investigation and subsequent prosecution, which would have fallen within the mandate of the case. And then, of course, I did express my disapproval to the head of the DSA in the strongest possible terms. And then, of course, it is also as to the first power, that it is the president who has the power to outline them to demand the head of the case. And it's also a matter that the Joint Committee on Detention looked at and didn't even make a reference to my role in the matter. But also, Martin, when you see of the report, I immediately then passed on to the DG of Nia and to give the message. The last point of service. Let us see that the president since then, that's all. This allows the investigation and possibly arrest and prosecution of Mr. Shemisi, who was the National Commission of Police. This is an area where I think Dr. Chinwata has tried to gain those power in criticizing for not getting sensitive to the National Security. And I must say that
I respectfully disagree with Dr. Shimano and Mr. Sen. For the fact that very early on in the course of the investigation, I was kept the president of the public informed. But I had always kept the middle of justice informed. And I have answered on one or two occasions separately, including the middle of event that Mr. was born at the time. And also, the middle of the case that was dead, Mr. Charles Nabula, around the problems and issues that we investigated. There's a long list of those reasons and correspondence that I should have mentioned. So, that's not also so too much to the fact that quite an access to apply for the warrant. She does, well, she's sympathetic to that, but she feels that I should have been informed. The minister, the president, tried to apply for the warrant. What I must say that in the course of bringing them to us, I always mentioned that the end of life of the criminal investigation is likely to be a criminal prosecution. Everybody wants one out of it. And even after being those ones, I was in control as to when the one is going to be executed. The reason why I informed the minister and the president about the warrant was again to make sure that the necessary conditions created within which to execute those warrants. This follows a number of reasons where I always said that the police are obstructing us in our way. And I made this known as early as March 2007 that the police are proving to be an offset in our work. The fact that finally applying the warrants end of July, beginning of August, shows that our attention to the issues that we have created. But also the main issue, it was the 1 week, 2 week issue. On the question of the president meeting 2 weeks or 1 week. But today, the government or the legal representative of government disputed that there was a discussion between me and the president. I introduced it in the course of the hearing that there was a discussion. Again, it was aimed at the story. The state magistrate will take care of what requires before they use the proper execution of judicial orders. The last point here is that so that you know that this is my business for my suspension. That my suspension was not because of an attempt to stop the execution. The other execution. But that clearly indicates that this was the result for my suspension. And I think that even the president, not understanding thing, even the certain days, or the certain day issues that have arrived first with the minister, and another set of the issue with the president, never raises the question of the 2 weeks being inadequate. We acted on the note that reference that was going to convene a meeting of National Security Council so that this issue are then attended. So this was never an issue. But when then I refused to
will be an unreported person. Which is it? Is it that him when they eat him?
I'll say again. It's only true. Which followed a letter from the person proving this to ask the money for this. And yet, on the 16th, I had given the person yet another return submission and information around the issue. The letter to the president from the president to the minister, which was on the 17th, a day after I had given the president more information, asked the same news, but then includes the instruction to stop whatever I intend to take. And this was sent to the minister to satisfy that I take into account public interest issues and all other issues. When I'm asked for the right and refused, when the government asked me for the right and refused, I get up on the suspension. So, very awesome. Thank you very much, for Deputy Cody, for talking to us and for responding to issues that were raised by the General Commission. And responding to issues that were raised by the president. Members, I realize that I'm not making notes, getting attentive. Now it is time for us to engage the inputs by Advocate Bigobi. I've seen the first hand, how the five members have been come to the presentation. And the first member to take the floor will be Honorable Montanish. Followed by Dr. Zemport. And the day was from the medical.
If yes, what steps, and if no, why? And according to you, you were removed as an NTPP because you prosecuted Commissioner Sibeli, which suggests that government was protecting Commissioner Sibeli at all costs. If my assessment of what you're saying is correct, why advocating Shea has not been suspended? Because he continued to charge Commissioner Sibeli, he did not continue the case.
Thank you very much, how will it be answered when we go into just one of these questions of one of these rather than those following others, how do you address our questions?
Just to see that I couldn't get the response because I would have commented on that aspect as well. Mr. Chair, it seems as if everything boils down to a question whether you are fit and proper person to hold office in the light of your alleged insensitivity to matters of national security. However, during your evidence here, you said there were three things. I just want to get absolute clarity on that. Three things that caused all the friction. I know you said a very careful investigation, and I just want you to be absolutely clear on those three matters. And then I want your comments on the sensitive relationship between national security and criminal activities. To what extent, in your mind, would national security override criminal activities? Or from the other side, seen from the other side, to what extent would you pursue criminal activities and bring the offenders before court, despite national security? Your definition, your concept of national security, I would like to get on the record. In other words, to see to how you balance the two, criminal activities, national security. In other words, would it be, simple, if the President of the Republic is engaged in criminal activities, would you consider it national security to rather bury that far, or would you, in terms of your duties, pursue that matter?
Thank you very much, Dan. That was honorable and that was for easy reference. Dick was Amuel.
Through you, Chairman, the government, you have been charged. There was a commission, you've been found not guilty. It has been found that you must be reinstated. There were five adverse findings. You have dealt with them this morning, and you have adequately appealed them. If you sit here, in my view, you are totally innocent. You should be I sense that there will be desperate attempts by some members here to try to find reasons to support the findings against you, the suspension, the dismissal. I'm of the opinion that what we are sitting here today is just window dressing. As in the case of the Scorpions, we also said for how long. But the decision was taken in Uruguay or in the Tuni House, and eventually the Scorpions were killed. I have a feeling that we are sitting here merely window dressing, and at the end of this, what you are going to be?
Point of order.
Point of order, that is. Question.
Sir, I think that you opened for questions, not for clear statements. So I think the honorable finance manager has a decency to ask the advocate to go to a question. He can look out from Pretoria just to listen to him and make popular statements. He's here for the questions and popular statements. He will have to do that.
Chairperson, just to make the record statement, you have to come from nowhere.
Now, I said that already.
Now, again, what I...
Just a moment, yeah, I think they have actually not been doing very well. Can we just try to restrain ourselves? Focus on the issue.
We'll certainly do that. I'm coming to the question now.
Please, sir.
Why is the recovery is this action against? What is the real reason? Who hates you so much that they want to get rid of you in view of your passive contribution to the struggle and to everything? What is behind it? Is it only the fact that you wanted to arrest and prosecute Sedef, or what are the real reasons? And were you offered anything to walk away? There was a newspaper article that you were offered 10 million to walk away. Were you offered anything? Why are you being victimized?
Yes,
I just want to find out if the advocates can share with us what made you to use the private security companies when he was executing these stations and civil operations. I'm saying that particularly instead of using the state agencies, I'm looking at the competition between the security companies and the SAPS. If you look at the possibility of them fighting over the territory, this is our territory. If you look at the security at that point, what made you to trust the private securities than the state securities? Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mdouli. Honorable David.
Chairperson, I want to commend as a colleague for this impeccable liberation convention. And one of the key things that we fought in the struggle for freedom in this country is that we should all be equal before the law. You seem to still remember, but others don't. So I want to congratulate you for your impeccable liberation credential. My question, Edward Colley, is that it seems to me that the second submission that you've made to the president, which was not interrogated by the Chimbala Commission, it seems to me that the president has used items in that response to you, of you, to the adverse findings, to dismiss you. And I think it's totally unfair, because then, the things that they raised then should have also been looked at in the Chimbala Commission. And my question is, the second submission, the issues that you raised there, were they considered in the commission? Because now the president has put up his own commission separately with another submission and made a finding on that. But certainly I would agree that you are a fit and proper person to hold office. If you look at the terms of reference, where the president had an opportunity to include in his terms of reference also an section 26A of the NPA Act. He used number 4. He said that on account of that, to find out whether you are fit and proper office. If you want to get into the operational part of your work, whether you are efficient or not efficient, they should also include number 3. On account of incapacity to carry out his or her duties of office efficiently. And that was not part of the terms of reference. So why is that diversion from the original terms of reference to use them to decide to dismiss you from your job? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Mdouli. I will respond.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think what we are dealing with here is the independence of the prosecutorial authority. And I think we need, as Parliament, to be very aware of that in the consideration of the Kidwali findings, of the President's findings. What is at stake here is the independence of our prosecutorial authority, and what we as Parliament understand is why. Having said that, President, I want to just read a comment from the Kikoli submission, and it indicates that experience has taught that the executive is always likely to be tempted to interfere with the prosecutorial process for political reasons, more often than not to protect their cronies in high office. And it's very clear to us in the ACDP that if you take the timeline, that the main reason for suspension was the prosecution of National Police Commissioner James Selebe. If we then look at the reasons given, and I'll get into my question, as to the whole issue of national security, a constitutional professor at the force says national security is not one of the reasons that can be given to have the NDPP fired. And he adds, the reason for this is it's difficult to fire a head of the NPA if you cite national security reasons which could fundamentally affect his independence to act without fear and favour. And I'd like Bikoli to comment on that aspect of the independence of the unit that you have alluded to and what is at stake here, the way that you've been treated. It was also referred to in the overall judgment of Nicholson, but the importance of the security of tenure of the NDPP, and it is so important that you are so aware of that as parliamentarians. And just to add, in commenting on this aspect, I've sat in the Justice Committee for almost 10 years, where Philip Bikoli was first in the DG, secondly as head of the NPA. Not once did he ever, as a portfolio committee, raise the issue of national security as a concern relating to whether you were fit and proper to hold office. Surely, it should have been an issue that should have come up in deliberations on all the cases that you raised when the NPA came and made submissions, when Justice made submissions over 10 years. So, for those aspects, we find it unacceptable that you have been treated in this manner, and I would ask you to comment on that issue as to what relevance national security has from a legal perspective as to whether you're fit and proper. When you look at Section 9 of the NPA Act, which says the only consideration is experience, conscientiousness, and integrity. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chair. Honourable Sons. Can I now give the space to another colleague to respond to issues that were raised by the members? You decided that you're going to start with the modern and that's the best start. That's a good one. I know that before.
Thank you, sir. In response to Honorable Mapatisha on the ground of the court, it is correct that a breakthrough, the first thing that I was called, as we can have. And it is equally correct. That first thing is that to say that, you know, it's not a proper study. It's not a proper reason. I could say that there would have been a measure of expectation. Just looking through that. And then also, I would have had it, I thought in my head, that no, this is working for us in terms of finalizing that the court is back. It did not even have recommendations at the time. And that I should find, but know that the existence that I was working. And it is correct that Mr. Apple, that this document is one of the documents that we have never wanted to see, or that we wish it would just disappear. That's correct. This is what I knew that it was problem. I don't see if there's any will allow Advocate McCarthy to have that support properly organized with proper recognition. So the question is that when a client of mine being able to speak back for fish, I arrived at the conclusion that here DSO was definitely a matter that it should not be dealt with. You recall my opening statement. I did allude to the fact that I had some passwords that I sent in Mr. McCarthy. But at the same time, there were issues there which I caught with your presence. In so far as criminal investigation is not concerned. So, while the other issues might not have been relevant or might not have been issues that the DSO should have dealt with, but I could not ignore some of the issues which could impact on criminal investigation. Particularly issues of money laundering and possible violation of the exchange regulation. I felt that then I had to do better. I can't advise the president on national security matters. But of course that doesn't mean that if I come across information that I feel could be of use and of relevance. But the general question is that of instituting proceedings. And that's the general question. And also, it's not actually also correct to say that I did not raise the matter with the president. I did. And the president never raised any of these issues that have been raised now, including issues raised by the honorable Marconism when I quoted about this budget. What if Marconism says that I was not offended because of an attempt to protect Mr. Zulu? But what he says is not one of the facts. The fact of the matter is, all these things that happened at the time the GSO investigated some allegations that linked Mr. Sibylle to criminal conduct, which we had to justify. But also in the mind, following the number of these. But the letter I received from the minister, which is commonly referred to the Committee Quest of the 18th of September 2007, has a specific instruction that until the Minister of Justice satisfies that I've taken into account public interest issues and all other issues, that I shall stop. I responded to that letter, giving the minister an opportunity to be changed. That. So that if this is so, this is what it means. I gave an opportunity. Now, of course, I just saw that is the now, that letter was on the issue, and I was suspended on the same page. Therefore, we should not lose our eyes. And again, Advocate himself, on being appointed the acting national director, was instructed to review the case of Mr. Sibylle on the day of my suspension. And he did so. And he arrived at the same moment. But when he reported there, he was told, no, no, well, we should have a of independent essence. Something that's unfitted in our development. At least four standards and four. That an independent panel was established to second guess the decision of an essential and four parties. And that's the case. That panel arrived at the same conclusion that I did. They have had the same conclusion. Sure, there was no other way out of the mess. He had to be protected. He was in the light of all the oppressing steps that have been taken in the evidence and the review or reconsideration by the chair and by the independent panel of assent. What they have done after that then, allowing the arrest and prosecution to go ahead. That's my response to one of my questions. Wonderful, therefore, I want to raise those issues. Just to make a point that what led to where I am right now is in the emotion of the Republic is that we are close to our sisters in the investigation of the Medal of the Black Heaven. That's when the name of the president came out. So I said, it has not been then for the Black Heaven Medal of the investigation. So I'm looking at this one as healthcare. Because the DSO was invited to assist in trying to solve a network. Now, this was in general, 2006. So that one issue. And then also I said that because I refused to obey an unlawful instruction, I will suspend. And then also, this is more obvious, but I was mentioning the court, was that had I agreed to resign, and I would ask to resign. First, by the needs, the danger of assistance, and then also by the president. And again, I refuse to resign because I said, for me, this is a matter of the rule of law and the matter for the independence of procedures. I said that. If I was to agree to resign, then I'm lying, not only to myself, but to the nation, because I would have to say that I resigned voluntarily when this would have been imposed on me. Those are the reasons that happened once when this matter came up. Now, I get on the question of UNASA's political federation and criminal investigations. But let me the first one to confess that I'm innocent of the asset. I might have been exposed to the security environment. What I said in the commission was that for me, national security should never be used as an excuse for avoiding criminal investigations. Where it is overwhelming evidence of a commission of a criminal offense. As a national director of public prosecution, I have that as my primary obligation. But also, I agree that also, given our own director, one must be able to also consider such issues. In the commission, I said that there is a need to be credited with some little amount of intelligence. That I wouldn't want to have the country to pursue a wasteland if there are some issues that can lead to you know, the threads, the pieces that we need to be talking about. But again, the overall that I have is about the magnitude of the language. That's why I think all of them, that we are impatient to live this in the NT. We try every possible avenue to avoid the situation in which we can see as a situation that threatens national security. Only these are the issues that one can forget. I would want to go to all of them. Can I not, you know, send it to each of them? If you look at all the submissions that are made, the fact that the body is careful, you know, asking for this, doing this, before doing it, let us see. Honorable report on amendment. I want to point to others. And the direct questions. And I think why did they do so much work? Where I was off by the thing and all that. All I can say is that I've always got to do my work the best of the way. Guide for the Lord of the position and my own works. That's the bottom line. I might have made mistakes currently, I might have annoyed certain people, but I think what's done to me is do my work about giving offerings. That's what I can do my work. And second, yes, we did have some kind of discussion, 24th of September, but they don't do without service.
Take my job?
No, it doesn't. Of
course, man. To do your course.
of ICS president. near ITSL. And the one procedure, that was
that in case of any system, in terms of access,
that the mind people put in her the object to get for the system, then those people were not going to have access to classify the sensitive information. And the arrangement and act was that those would receive. And actually there are only two ways in to gain the GSO, that is the receiving of the two copies that they need. One was actually the first case, and the other was the national intelligence. And there's never been any allegation that the cause of the search is operation. Having said that, I do not undermine the question of ensuring that people who carry out services were help of the government. The question of that, remember, I call this institution. There were problems later on. But if you check my record, in terms of making sure that the people who do the work are embedded, it speaks for itself. Well, I'm not so sorry. I
arranged
mine. And you know, the fact that there was a name, and you don't have to get it. And then also, as of the business that has been used for my removal, actually, that would not have been used. Because the president, his own thing, makes reference to my professional committee, which is not in question at all. Therefore, the only thing that is not left to be managed would be the previous proper question, which will also link up with the other issues that are raised by the government of SWAT on those requirements, what is meant by the previous proper question. And those are clearly stated in the legislation. And therefore, it is very clear that it makes me a little bit confused because what to get is the reason. But obviously, then, the reason that the president is given that of level 76 is the issue of national security, which I'm trying to address before this. So the issues of experience, consciousness, and health, nobody is going to talk with that. Question of capacity, or incapacity, the matter that are going to arise at all. One of the thoughts, asked me to deal with the question of the independence of prosecutorial authority and what is the same here. And then of course the crisis of course the people of our country is adjusted, you know, that is state. What I've asked is that the first thing that I said was that I cannot do that because I believe in the rule of law and in the independence of the people. What I felt that the only reason our team has to decide was executive interference in the work of prosecutors. Now, we start allowing a situation where there is executive interference in the work of prosecutors, you are beginning to erode the rule of law and the democracy. The adjustment that we must on why we need to have an independent prosecution service. Our own constitution and our own act is also modeled along the lines of the American constitution insofar as the power of the Attorney General and the Judicial Affairs in court in America. The
Constitutional Court has pronounced on the constitutional guarantee of people's general beliefs. One cannot go further than the pronouncement, the judgment of the Constitutional Court. Against the agreement, judges, battlesmen, and deputies, against the address that led the issue of a serious interference and the work of prosecutors. The report of judgment touches quite a lot on the question of battle. I will not deal with the revelation. The latest statement of the Supreme Court of Appeal deals with it. So I'm always thinking, dear listeners, it's a matter which is also being addressed by the International Association of Prosecutors. A set of standards on prosecutors. There are UN guidelines. One prosecutor. Our position points incorporate also those who make guidelines on prosecutors. I'm not sure what I'm getting into the other
thanks. Thank you very much, Jeff, for responding to all those questions that my colleague puts in all of
just one. Ask members to ask questions so as we can check if we are within the framework of our responsibilities later. But now I give you a chance to ask questions.
Consolidated report.
which is a report that was compiled by the Commission.
I put the thing about question.
I thought you are saying confirmation now or later.
I'm not confirmation, but my question is based on the day. She understood.
Oh, I thought you were proceeding to ask
my question. Now, one of the things that is alleged in this report is that the now president of the ANC, Jacobson, was going to overthrow the South African government led by President by using the assistance of military forces of outside countries. This is contained in the actual original ground report. My question is, did the African action when we read this direction to be that? Yes. You actually didn't believe that. And if you didn't believe it, why did you not throw the report away? Why didn't you burn the report? What was the necessity of keeping that report? It's my next question to get the actual consolidation grounds of the report. I certainly believe, in my view, one of the most subversive documents that ever surfaced in the modern era of South Africa. It contains horrible allegations, fictitious allegations. Any reasonable person would have seen that. Does the advocate agree with me? And if he does agree with me, why did he still pass this report on to the National Intelligence Agencies and to the selected Secret Service? Why did he not stop for working on that report immediately? My third question to you is, this is a top secret document. GSO themselves testified this document as top secret. And the document leaked out of their offices. This was the finding of the dossier as a document that actually came from the offices of the DSO. A top secret document leaking out into the hands of the public and the media. I'd like to hear the advocate's comment on how you use, how serious you use the leaking in general of top secret documents of this nation.
Present some first to
South African citizens. The second issue, of course, the advocate makes mention of the latest judgment by Judge Harris in the Supreme Court of Appeal. And interestingly, the advocate, of course, draws our attention to the question of executive appeals on procedural responsibilities. But the advocate doesn't draw our attention to the extent to which Harris, as the Senate of the Court of Appeals, in actual fact, applied more time on drawing a relationship between the political office and the custodial responsibilities in carrying out and ensuring that, in whatever way, at the end of the day, there is a balance of relationship you can't and divorce the students. So it would be quite important to hear the comment of the advocate in relation to the comments made by the church in the particular of the country. That kind of relationship between the truth. And that's the change. It boils to the question of the relationship between the advocate, of course, and the president, of course, as the executive president. And he delegates certain responsibilities to certain individuals, whether it be an executive level or as strategic institutions that the president finds necessary or that the constitution gives him the responsibility to do. And another basis of the delegation of responsibilities that have been given to the advocate, because, of course, by the president, the executive responsibilities. To what extent does the advocate locate, particularly, the question of trust and a healthy relationship between him and his executive, who delegated certain responsibilities, and locate that within the context of issues related to national security? I don't want to repeat what Adam was specific questions, but the principle I'm trying to raise on this particular question is the question of trust between him and the executive that has delegated certain responsibilities to him. Thank you.
Is it
I think we should communicate to advocates the court in the sense that we don't questioning the integrity, nor are we questioning his commitment to his work or the good work that he's done. I think essentially it's around what particular aspect, to what extent did he take account of national security and how relevant is that to whether he's a fit or proper person. The second quick thing is that I think we should also make the balance clear that this is not an issue for the parliamentary committee, at least, and of the committee. You see, this is what we mean by executive interference. Now, in the Constitution, it says that the Minister has a final responsibility for the NDPP. And the Justice Committee provides work is already put on the agenda, the need to clarify what that actually means. And in our deliberations with regard to final chairs of the committee as a whole, we have to ask ourselves what is our aim. Is our aim simply to look at what has happened or also to draw lessons? And one of the lessons we might want to draw from this is whether there's a need to provide clarity in the Constitution and in the NPA Act and whatever on this relationship. I think we're all pretty clear. We cannot countenance interference by any member of the executive in a decision about whether to prosecute a specific case or not. And to the extent that the minister's letter suggested that, I think this committee is going to reject the choice of the words. She hasn't given it such a long intention, but reading the text, it actually implies that the minister allow the interpretation that this committee is one of the conduct of the place. Nothing again was really said. They cannot interfere, whether it's the president of the country or the minister of the commission of police. Then we have a commission of false dichotomy, and I want to respond to this. It isn't a question of is it climate more important or national security. I think the question I'm going to call you put into you shortly, the issues of national security apply not whether you prosecute the case or not, but how you do so. So let's not conflict. There are two equals. One is about process. In other words, if you have a criminal case, you must proceed. No one knows some people do. No one should. That's constitutional. Nobody can do that. But issues of national security arise in respect of how you proceed. If I consider, I guess the whole dichotomy, I'd like to respond to that. Can I also ask you a question? Now, in respect of your reply to the question, there's a general question there in some paragraph or the other about you accept that maybe there are some shortcomings and to the extent they are as human. But the basic thrust of your reply makes very few concessions. You present almost yourself as flawless, except for the very question in that one paragraph from this morning. And it seems to me that you might want to answer a question. Don't you think that it might have helped to settle this matter negatively if you had admitted that there are some weaknesses and I'll come to that in a moment and would like to respond? Your overall response, I must say, is very lucid and clear. And aspects of it could certainly be very credible. But what I don't think is credible is your, it's not just a fake argument that actually Jinwala may have tried to do that, protect the minister and the president of the time. It may or may not be true. But looking at your argument as a whole, I'd like to suggest that it's not just a fake argument, although to some extent with what my colleague has asked the chairperson of the National Intelligence Committee. I think also, very quickly, because I'm running out of time, dear President, again, we are not a commission, nor we are a court of law. So issues that, I think, with regard to my Madonna and others, the lawyers, I don't understand that our role is to check credibility, not accuracy. We do not investigate the forensic arm. So, what I should look at the reports before us, and look at whether it's credible or not, not whether it's true or not, is the argument reasonably credible. Now, what I actually think, why many of your presentations to me at least, and I'm obviously offering a tentative initial impressionable view in relation to your replies and what others, not least even courses, to say about what my own view would be, but as part of a collective engagement, it is this, it's not credible, I think. Doing those three things. One, given the importance of this issue, of the tussle between the two candidates for presidency of the ANC, and the whole country was obsessed and had been paralyzed to some extent by it. Given your experience of the movement, your considerable experience, which none of us, your former co-chair knows you better than me, which is in the ANC, but no one questions it, and we acknowledge it, although we should point out that the Shadrugh was the right of the liberation movement. About our nevertheless, nevertheless, you're acknowledging it, so that our, but anyway, the third one I want to make is, the third one I want to make is, the extra line. Given your considerable experience of security issues, the two issues that arise. One, is it credible that given all these things, that you purely took the initial preliminary report you got from the DSOA and filed it away, but if you bounced to it, you sort of saw that it had a sort of combination of fact and fiction, you asked for the final copy. Two issues I have. One, you know what I noticed that the preliminary report was not presented to her. What is this? Is the report available? Why was it not presented to her? Secondly, is it credible that somebody of your considerable experience, given the gravity of the issue, the report, that just filed it away? Why that question is important here, doesn't it? Because a series of other issues flow from that. About why do you not act more decisively against this year's delegate, notwithstanding the fact that it's a prison appointment. And I think that there's a whole series of things that I want to repeat. There's nine arguments about security issues that the consistent play that you are not sufficiently sensitive, no cooperation, no disciplinary action, foreign party, and such a whole covenant does not stand. I think the argument is not really making, I think that is the question of the The argument is not that you don't have, from what I can get, the experience of that your security issues, your consistent experience of understanding. But it's, I think the argument is that given your new role now, as the head of the prosecuting authority, in an evolving, dynamic, complex society, a maturing democracy, not a mature one, that you didn't pay sufficient attention to security issues. It's one thing to be sensitive with your MK commander and you're going to back to the rich school. It's quite another thing to actually be happy with this security. I do think that there are other issues that we need to look at from the skills. No. The legal framework, let us be defined and the legal clarity of the relationship.
I want to call it again. Honorable colleague, just tell us what this is.
Reading the presentation from Colleen and listening to the presentation today, one is tempted to have the view that you embrace the findings that are in your favor and you challenge all the organizations when it might be a selective listening and selective reading. But if you can have an opportunity to take us through the similar report where there is a finding against you that you are feeling. Because I believe that there's people who have some strong points and some things, but I don't see that coming in all the findings where it's against that. Thank you, Chairperson.
Hello, Honorable. Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to talk on one finding that I want to advocate because to give clarity on. Jinama Bushi says advocate because. Advocate because it did not fully appreciate the sensitivity of the political environment in which the NPA needs to operate and the responsibility to manage. This is my view. I hear what one of the members was saying about the issue of the autonomy aspect. But they are operating in a country where elites have to have this political environment which came the energy. And this political environment is this one that today the president referred this matter to. So that this political environment must make an assessment and give a recommendation. It is not a pure technical thing that has a very verbose autonomy that it can create this kind of an atmosphere that people are talking about. The question of autonomy by its definition is not absolute that anybody can run amok on the base on the name of autonomy. Autonomy is there where one has to clearly look carefully on the things that are things that has to be done in the name of autonomy and not necessarily do what you're saying, the executive is interfering. Intervention is not interfering. In a political situation, in a political environment, which is the best to by trade commission. Talks about any intervention in a political situation where probably unintended consequences would likely to take place. That is what we're talking about, not about these territories that people are referring to around the term. The other question, advocate. This commission says, advocate because there's an understanding of his responsibility to operate within a strict security environment and to ensure that the NPA and the TSO operate in a way that
takes into account the community interest and does not compromise national security. And apparently the reference is made as not compromising the national security, but reference is made again that the issue of prosecuting without fear and favor should be a critical point. But it doesn't say it should be only you and you only who make that kind of a decision. It says when you make that kind of a decision, and there should be a political environment in which you operate within, where you have to say, is this having unintended consequences in an event I do this? And not say, no, don't do it because it's another person that has an interest and the other one is present. But purely on the basis of the nature or the environment of the individual. The NPA doesn't operate on its own. The NPA operates within this country's political environment and institutional political environment. In any event, it is trembling on the toes of this environment. In the term, it's likely to diminish. Thank you.
My point of order is we hear all along now arguments instead of questions. And you are the originator.
You stopped me.
Like I said.
And I think it's fair, I would like to respond to the last speaker.
Yes.
Because he made a speech. And he had it all about autonomy and we prosecuted using the term in political bias with funds, and everyone was mad. So I call upon you, please. Yeah. You've got five speakers now to questions.
No, that's fine. But the one who went to the room, not since that, on our own course, three of you that you want to fight with each other. When it's because I'm so bad, I didn't see that, but I saw two of you. So what I'm saying is that I take the advice from another terrible that the questions should be confined to questions. Can we proceed now with honorable today?
Thank you very much. I will just give a question. I refer to the letter by the President dated 18th December 2008 to the Vice Attorney. On page 3.3 there, it states, applicant Pecori's professional competence is not in question. Then it goes on, as the fourth last paragraph, the last part of that says, moreover, the further representation reveals an inability or unwillingness to acknowledge shortcomings in the manner in which advocates poorly dealt with the sensitive and difficult process relating to the execution of warrants and related matters. And then it goes on, and the third last paragraph, the end of it reads, I find that Advocate Kukori does not possess all of the qualities required of the National Director of Public Prosecutions. Now my question is whether they ask further particulars to that statement, and do we really know what supposedly did be so wrong that warranted his dismissal? Thank you.
Yeah. Yes, before you come on the chair, first of all, you wanted to just confirm that we did receive a letter from the presidency, which is addressed to myself and the co-chairperson. We acknowledge that the slip of invitation to the presidency to make a presentation to the ad hoc committee to the plenary committee to consider matters in terms of section 12 of the National Prosecuting Authority Act. The presidency has submitted all documents in support of the president's recommendation to dismiss ad hoc people as National Director of Public Prosecution. However, we are unable to clarify any matter from the request of the committee. The presidency also accepts the invitation of the Assault Committee meeting on Wednesday. in the first January 2009. The presidency will be presented by the Minister of Justice and Constitutional Affairs, Mr. Sophie, and there shall be the head of Mr. Advocacy Body, head of the Government Creative Services, from the presidency. Acting Director General of so that's the notice for the state. So today we will have that presentation or we will have an opportunity to engage the president. So because I hope I didn't I think it was Honorable Faith Matibuma. I did not subtract you from the question you had there today, isn't it? I gave you more chance.
Thanks, no. Mine is not trying to many questions, but such quickly, the chairman advocate, who is in the name of class, that's his members, so that the name is deliberate. Can you conclude on the matter? Can you also take this into consideration? To say exactly what can be the characteristics of a person to refuse any offer and hold a position, especially of religion, that has some kind of prosecution. And what are the answers? What do we consider to be the core underlying attribute of a person to be entrusted with mental health and religion security? And last question, if maybe can we also maybe unpack if there has been anything that every person can give information and give it to the church of the country. And lastly, that's last chapter. I noticed when you were actually indicating his first communicated his families, and I'm sure he's registered checkers with them. He knows his voices. I can know his voices because, but I'm sure he will be putting his head in. Whether Chambers
he has joined the
RFP. He a member of the ANC, I know he didn't spend all those years in exile only to betray us. In his inputs, he indicated that not that he really wants to come back as a national director of prosecution. So curiously, I want to know, I still want to retain his job, or maybe he's just doing this sort of thing of trying to clear his name, so that even one day when the one remembers him, he feels peacefully, 6 feet underground, knowing that he has been chased. So, thank you.
Yes. Yes. As much as I want to give you the latitude and the freedom to say whatever I want to say, certain things are stricter than you want to say, and certain words should not be mentioned. I'm sitting here, I didn't support the advocate who would say that we are both MK members. It's not a big issue, but he is a Chinese MK member. He has explained himself, so I'm just saying a very good advocate in terms to deal with the issues, and those are real issues.
Thanks for the chance. Can I just start with the first one?
Well, no, that's
not. I start with Honorable Mazibuko's intervention. Well, on the question of speaking proper, well, for the attributes are already involved in terms of, you know, passing the inside experience, consciousness, even our duties, and the question of integrity. I would like to believe that that's how our opponent is perceived. On the question of the underlying attitude of a person to be entrusted with mental illness and security, I was appointed to the National Director of Public Prosecution. But I'm hasty to add that it does not mean that I have not taken interest or
has been insufficient attention to issues of in the transition.
Perhaps it's a matter of conduct and respond to the honorable chairperson of the Free Body of Trust, Mr. Alec, who has been answering the issue. And then, another question of me wanting to come back about just trying to build a name. When I came to defend the principle, it's not about me as a community, it's about this important institution of faith and the responsibility and how this institution of faith should then be able to end public trust and faith. I believe that my issue is aside, it's not about me. Also, it's about ensuring that as a country, we want to ensure that we don't put up institutions and we don't accept it. I think we've got that responsibility. And I think even if we've got power, those powers have got to be tested. We have to be tested in terms of the laws. So that issue that is really about the principle that one is trying to defend. One of the events made reference to the president's letter of the aim of the chairman, the resolution of my professional competence, otherwise, where the president says that is not in question. Then the question of the inability to acknowledge witnesses, which is the point of view which has been taken up very well. I think one of the statement that people look to the fact that I'm not a perfect individual, and I think they're fine with perfect individual. But I always try to do my job, you know, the best of my ability. I make mistakes again, and I'm prepared to learn from my mistakes. And I always try to improve on my business. So the human to respond to issues which you feel are unfair to the system, not everything that you should criticize. I've already, whenever I address the Portfolio Committee on Justice and also the committee in the NCOP, I've already said that whenever the NCA is criticized, it's correct for the NCA to criticize. But it must not be scandalized. That means it must be based on proper information that people have. I've already said to you, if one checks the answer, you will find that happens to all the issues that are in the conversation. So I'm the first one to admit that I do make mistakes. But at the same time, if I believe and sincerely so that the issues will be done there, I have to respond to it. And where there's room for improvement, I will improve. And for me, that is quite an important issue. And then on the question of the...
Sorry, Chief. I think it was my the gist of my question was, do you really know what you supposedly did so wrong that you had to be dismissed?
No, I was coming to that.
Mr. Joubert, before you press this mic, raise your hands and you get permission from me. You see that? It's easy, isn't it? Please. Proceed.
One of the main ways that we make reference to the fact that the president also interjected and talks about the immediate processing all the court cases in the national direct. And then to ask whether, you know, you ask for clarification on the issue. Yes, of course, he did ask for the authorities when the president was, he wants to make from the police. And that's one of what was done today. All the cases that he made in that letter of the of because there was never an opportunity to then get an engagement.
One of the compilers raised the question of most students shifting the compiler and an issue which is raised by the question. A quite difficult to respond precisely the nature of that regulatory. And we were discussing with stakeholders at the time when I was here in office. I've always said that SNCD operates in a particular environment, what I call the policy that I was having. So that's why I thought it's not sufficient policy. We also make mention of the issue of public interest. That is the massive population here. The question of public interest. Whether it was in the position or not. Whether it was in the public interest. That is part of the position. And the question of the supervisor government, speak back to other thoughts. I'm not so sure exactly what you mean in specific terms. But the fact that, you know, you have an institution, which is a feature of the constitution, that is also makes it operating in that particular environment. And then I'm prepared to answer any issue that you show that you lack that aspect of that particular environment. I'll be glad to answer any issue on the specific issue. And then I'll take your point on the question of absolute autonomy, whether policy independence or autonomy. That you can't, by the sense of saying that you are an independent institution rather more than the future country to always say. It's a matter that I emphasize in the course of the commission. But I, you know, very kind of the thing to create a picture that when I informed the president, that I was just informing the president and I was going to proceed anyhow with the execution of the one. I never had that intention. Again, it comes back to the issues of the by Honorable Karim about how do people then carry out as well as what they need to do. Because the mask is a sensitive thing on Adam. So, this is an issue that is granted. Perhaps this was an article. It is in the record. Who has no clue about national security? Who doesn't care for the interest of the country? That's really the case. So, in the end, I've tried to scale the discussion. I didn't need to understand. I've been sorry that. You see, we can but it should be proactive that we enter. It should not come out of the but it also be enforced to the policy institution. Well, so this has always been the way we have to do that. That's it. Honorable Nyambe says that the tenants to embrace the fund is in my favor. And that's what they are thinking about. And they cover the aspect of the commission. They are around the reasons for the structure of the commission. And I'm paralyzed with that. And again, you see, I have to address that. Not that I don't want to do that. But again, that's it. If that issue is taken out, other than just explain and say, okay, fine, since I'm last educated, I'm not satisfied. Because at the end, it has an article about the type of person who was appointed as the national director for policy. Long after all the other problems, because one could be strong institution, had a very difficult. So I have to be informed to the other side. Not that I didn't say
I'm superhuman being. I'm perfect. But that's what it is.
What are the current issues with the physics?
Listen.
But, I would say as an aspect of this, I do have an answer to the question of necessity when I say that. That's not an express obligation that I have. But I suppose it's a question of trying to look at things in a mature way. It's a question of how you want to ensure that they come in the way you sustain for life. Therefore, the aspect and the passive occupy the higher order of the second, and you have to. I think I want you to really dismiss this person of intellect. I would have done all the things that I want. And also according to the public interest, where the public interest will demand that, you know, I have invested in the prosecution, the National Commissioner, who is said to be in the pocket of criminal organized crime. I would say the other one, public interest will demand that they be police. So that's why public interest is telling me. And to act according to that. So I do have that. Well, only this is what I'm sure that we do the makers of the committee to qualify the world. And then, of course, I feel also the person of the board is very good. You know, to look at all the issues that they know from the members of the committee. And this one raises the question of not so much of how right you are, you know, but also how you do the right thing. We can end up being done in the wrong way. And then carefully, the right fullness of opportunities for us. So one is what we carry, and that's what we try to balance. Again, one of the things, and then, of course, what I felt that the commission was last year indicating me. Why I say that it was protective of the needs of the president? I think last speech on that is in terms of the evidence that was produced before the commission. But which, when Dr. Chimala made it, decided to ignore and not even mention some of it. And yet, she has found me to testify once throughout my testimony. Even to the extent where, you know, others, you know, friends, can involve from our statement, that I would be unsolicited. But then I try to say that she doesn't mention something in the time. And that's one that I feel has made me believe that the minister and the former president, the former minister and the former president, were the president. How does one really explain the fact that despite the evidence having come, that other people said, not out of his own free will, had to cancel the one of others. And certainly, attempted to have the one of consensus cancelled. But on approaching the judge in Chino, the judge said he must make a full application for that. Exactly. This doesn't feature in the finding of the commission at all. Question then. I'm going to show what they're able to have the rather than the time. Not by the magistrate of the commission, though for the law, first of all, why it must be the present commission for the absence of such things and the like. how do you explain the involvement of the president in the Patterson Board of Enemies? Well, the bishop that is went to other people with a draft application for cancellation of office. In the face of offer, how can I then not to such a conclusion? Particularly when Dr. Chinwala rejects the point I make that my proposal was based on the question of and look at all the other incidents that have been reported to the authorities. So I believe these are the issues that I would see. And that's the thing is about it. That's if I'm wrong. But on the face of it, in the light of the evidence, that the thing is for the cause. Those are the issues that I feel that they will not be able to make sense. So now the question of
Precisely because it also involved
medicine after the South Africa. But as that guy, after the person, the Jesus knew that I raised the matter with the Jesus staff. And told him to do I was. I gave them confidence. The Jesus has told me that they also have the same, more the same information within us as it is near. One of the last first meeting with the Jesus class, we had this meeting to us. The Jesus near the Jesus of us and us. They are copying of the report. Because I feel the matter that spirits can give their domain to call them of the same. That's what is contained there. If you could see that. I would not just say that this is a so fictitious that it is not a book. I think that's why it would be in the same of duty. One more factor. One more factor. I am taking it to the responsible agency to give you the message. And also, one reporting the message to the president of the Republic then, I told him about this. And so I believe that 80% of what's going to be is true. I say now, chief, that if I authorize that report, when I put it to the people who are supposed to act on it, whether it's explicit or whether it's true, their own intentions, the gathering, is potentially continuing. I don't believe what I am to do. I know the gathering. And that's why the dream tells us what happened that I did not have prepared. You know, she said to her in the past that she felt that I protected her by not informing her. Because I couldn't inform her that it was also. You know, I felt that I was being really unprocessed and, you know, and all other things. So, that also tells me that I took the point. Not that it necessarily became in this context, but the fact that it existed is not necessarily proof of the fulfillment of the context. But I had the responsibility to do what I did in this. Which I suppose then lastly also addresses the point raised by one of the programs. Accept the question of opportunity. And again, when thinking of, I would stand in place, mechanically in place, to ensure that there is no difference from their view. And I would never expect anybody to release information from their view. The law is also very clear about the issue. I would be happy at any stage. To have a proper identification that sat on the list. Well, the essence is the same. It's not surprising for us. Whatever we doubt, also, raises issues of responsibilities, on in addition to responsibilities. That was a security issue that which I think that raised the question of the closer relationship between the ministry and the MPP. And also the interspecific the law is empty. This is where I also believe that that's Nicole. When we step far. Because the Constitution places final responsibility of the MPA on the family to be responsible for the administration of the system. Specifically, after the outline, the minister of the administration. This is of the MPA, but in the Constitution, of the MPA.
Savior has shown that I've always met those in the middle of that. That not one that ever refused to give any omission of anything that still has to provide the commands and requirements of the law. There is no evidence that you will suggest that. I do not have a full understanding of what is meant by the covenant of the Holy Spirit as a society and finance association. Tell us that we have organized this. We have had enough of the city and never ever completed about that. And if you want to ask me to write on a piece of paper, then listen. You know it's not likely that there is no breakdown of trust between you and I. You never tell me that. Because it's true. You don't tell us the truth. What is going to do? And
that's the same thing I said to Mr. Jimet. It applies to you. That's the way you must cover it. You see, what I need to do is just to build a flow arts. You make a flow arts. Don't make and do interventions. Just say, follow, just a flow arts, and make a flow arts. And the same. Really, the question is not so strategy. So you get, but I also wanted to check on the meeting. And because you said that you met the DG of SAS and the mayor. So the House report did not leak from the office. Is that what you imply or suggest? Not only that, I will come with the last, look at that one. So as we can deal with the others. That is, having no long statement, follow then I honorable Tao and want to bring that order and fight. Thanks.
Yeah, it was in a way kind of a decision on how we deal with it. My question is not answered, and it's a confused question. In this model, of course, it is that the preliminary report, preliminary gospel report, was not made available to Sinwala. I would like to know why. And secondly, my question is more precisely, when the initial preliminary report came, according to the documents before us, the NDPP looked at it, heard the head of the DSO, and then filed it away. My point is not about, my question is not about what is the final report, which is explained. It is, should he not have acted more decisively, given the fifth decision in complaints in the issue, when he got the draft report? That's my point. So we, in the last completing the draft report for the final report, it may be my problem that I wasn't precisely here.
Okay.
Now, no.
Just so, can I just immediately point to that? If you switch on this.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Only for our question, but also, you know. I want to look to the size issue.
Okay.
You can look at
it. Can I do that?
That's special privilege I gave you. I'm sure that members would understand, so they can respond to me. They can come back.
Thanks, sir, for the intelligence.
On the question of the ability of the human report, how do we know what it is?
We recall that, you see, I left office on a Friday. With all the intensive of that was a magic. Then on Saturday, I was suspended. So the last time I was in the office was then on Friday. So since then, I never been to the office. I had the time during the sitting of the commission. When the chair made the management, the acting president director to go and look for the report. He could not be found. He couldn't have the report.
clear now.
The second question was, why did he not make more decisively when he got the preliminary report? His reason was earlier before, it is credible that he just brought the report and found his way.
There's
one point here is raising that in the other report. This is a criminal for the old tragedy. And the rather than question that is coming about Monday, Sunday, suspended. In the same one, was it?
No, I don't have the question.
Yeah,
what is the first issue? That has been demanded of by my country. The other hand went out double forms around July for a long time. And on coming back, Advocate McCarthy then prepared for a note of all the things that he had done in my absence, which was also the time then when there was also the investigation. On the ground floor. This was in 2007. And then also indicating that there was one copy that he had kept. I'm referring to the preliminary report. But then I'm saying, when Dr. Chinua wanted a copy of that preliminary report, he could not be found. Now, coming to what I did. When you speak of the human report, I think this is where the question lies. That why did I not act decisively? I cannot say again that it is not a matter of what happened. That's not a report, that's not my part. But the fact is that, you know, he said that, look, this is work in progress. We are going to have, what will we do for the report? I do say and admit that the work that made me feel uncomfortable. But the first that point was that the first was the proper process of it was as a process. You know, this was a thing that also had a proper way in terms of having fish. So I felt that I couldn't really that in the report which is not a finalized report. That was, you know, the judgment for me.
The
point I want to pursue with you, advocate, is the fact that a copy, see, a copy is copied from somewhere, from the computer. So if you got one copy, and the copy disappears, and one tries to make a follow up, that doesn't mean the copy was advocate McCall, not McCartney. So the point I want to get is that what in the event that COVID disappeared, what did you do? Because it's a serious and bad decision in the environment. In terms of what did you do, a lot of information, do you want to follow it up from Alessa?
Just a small clarification. The financial report was submitted in March. And then you're saying that in June, that is when in July, that is when you came again. But now also you said that on receipt of that preliminary report, you immediately took the report to SARS, to meet the TCO of SARS. I don't know if that's a kind of, okay. But the very problem was that we had to very much. But which you said that you did not have time, you just created this, you never buy money, it doesn't matter.
Yes, that's the one that was.
Let me also clarify my mind. Whether there is this an incomplete report is given to you, you know, it's not in a hurry. Then you feel that you can't go through a hurry report, one incomplete report. The best thing to do now is just to explain that because a lot of members say that initial preliminary report was in March and you are referring to a period in June, July. So I just need this has to be clarified about that.
Okay.
extensive. The preliminary report of the March 2006.
March 2006, okay.
That's what I'm talking about here. I will give my card, that was the case. So, this is quite important, but it's not a finalized report. The investigation has already been completed. But the writing of the report, which could have been to the final product, the analysis of all the information contained in the report, and also I have the release. So, I as a partner, this is not a finished product, as it's in a other case. There should be a way to find a way to be leaking, you know, the report. But so the question is, okay, fine, don't I do this now? A way to the final report. Which I then see in July of 2006. And on the 6th of that July, I then immediately shared it, or I took it to the DGs of that meeting, and I gave them copies, which means that it's not a question of opening this copy. So it means me also had a copy of that report. It means that SAS had also a copy of that report. And now it has been a completed investigation on how things and point to the NPA. Then facts must be put forward so that an appropriate action is taken against that particular individual within the NPA. But I'm saying the same report is also in the domain of media and SAS. That's what I mean.
So the point
is that we apply the uncertainty, the report was not leaked from the NPA. That's what you are saying. You're saying that right now, national prohibitions.
I cannot say that, sir. I don't know. I'm saying if there was an investigation as to how the report leaked, if there is such a report on that investigation, and it points to the NPA having leaked that report, then I'm saying it means that people have identified those who did the NPA. Therefore, appropriate action then has got to be taken against those responsible for the leak. I cannot say, well, I don't know how to do it. All I know is that some evidence, near evidence, the NPA has. But if the House has said that it came from the NPA, then appropriate action has got to be taken according to the
So thank you very much.
Yeah, I don't want to belabor the point. If the point is made, you can pass.
That's another problem.
Okay.
Chair, my problem is in the main the relationship. And the advocate says that he had a very good relationship for the medicine. That is, he reported brief and deep briefing constantly. I'm not quite disturbed as well as the report, because the report of general sense is something different. And if you look at page 137 and 136, paragraph 37, if I have to read now, it says, similarly, advocate recorded such a responsibility to the Minister of Humanity, particularly now with regard to the Malawi and conspiracy to overthrow the president. To alert that when he first became aware of this conspiracy and he failed to do so. But the advocate says he constantly briefed the minister on each level. The other part is on the same page in paragraph 197, the first sentence. He said that I also a translation complained that advocate Bikoli was obliged in law to immediately report the request to the intelligence structures and that he failed to do so. And the advocate is constantly raising
being the question of his relationship with the intelligence structures and how he constantly engaged the intelligence structures. 128, paragraph 198. The second sentence, which is now the kind of the opinion of the Dr. Gilad, she says, however, he ought, in my view, to have brought the attention of the minister that there was a problem associated with Malawi president involving South African citizens, and which was not dispassionate planned in South Africa. Now, if you look to at my earlier question related to the section in the Constitution 198 around questions related to national security and especially the protection of some of the citizens in the context of this Malawian plot to overthrow this person, I think as South African citizens we naturally put at risk. One, if the minister was not informed, two, even if the president was informed, and what would have happened or what attitude would have been answered that emerged and concretized themselves in Malawi about South African citizens who are plotting to overthrow the president. What kind of an understanding or environment are you creating and putting the South African citizens, including the honorable Father Mel, at risk if he goes to Malawi, only to be seen as a South African, when a plot is then developed in his own country to overthrow their so I just want to bring a follow up and say, who is telling us the truth? The report of the honor says, based on the evidence that was presented to me, it arrived at a conclusion that clearly showed that there was no relationship, there was no constant breathing and deep breathing. But now the citizens in this city, an advocate say, he had a constant relationship, who was in relationship with the minister. Now I would want to mention, who is telling the truth?
Not about the name first, he had agreed that that's the point we need.
No, I agreed. I thought it was on that specific question only. Are you okay?
No, I think I need to respond.
I need to respond. The only thing I want you to do is that I want you to to respond. Cool down. That was wrong now. That's fine. Yes, that's what I do. You come after he has advocated his point. Are you okay? Then after that, is it yourself before? Thanks, man.
And so, after this lunch?
Yes. No, I'm there.
Okay. Thanks, Jeff. Instead of this all repeating myself around this question, your own memory. Conflicting two issues here. What the government put forward in this submission as an additional tax against me, and what also Dr. Sinwala alludes to in the course of the report, that government is saying this and that and that. And then also, Dr. Sinwala also makes findings after also happened, if I'm reading my own evidence. And the government conceded that GSO had no role to play. There was no intelligence data by the GSO or even by the NGO. And the request was purely in terms of mutual legal assistance, which was regulated by our International Cooperation in Criminal Matters Act, Section 7. And the Department of Justice is the central authority when it comes to the issue, through the Director General of Justice. On the receipt of that request, I immediately forwarded first the DPP of Malawi, thought I was just doing the matter. I said, no. The right time is to direct your request to the DG of Justice
there's a central authority. One is first. In which they don't respond to speech, I forward it so that it can be handled. Not in terms of any interest, right? But in terms of the industrial cooperation in criminal measures. That's what they did. And that's what Professor Smart found, right? That I handled the measure properly. In so far as preparing the measure to the Department of Justice. The Act also says that these of justice must then forward. After processing that request, to the minister of justice. Which would mean that the minister then wants to know through the process that I responded of the request. Seems that familiarize itself with the content of the request. This is the issue that I think. We repeat the letter from the Board of Justice to say the minister is approved. And after the letter was successfully dealt with, we are going to receive the letter from the office of the DG, thanking the MGA for the manner in which it has handled this matter. Now, how does any threat come about around this, given the manner in which we have dealt with it? I think for the owners.
Yes,
thank you very much. What I will do now is to check if there are members of ASIO ask questions. Then we'll try to avoid this question because there are members who are asking about ask questions now. And yeah, my question is already identified the one with the is the follow-up question I want to deliver.
Yeah, it's a priority because I wanted to come back to this issue of national security. And I have 2 points that I want the advocate to respond to. We think this issue of 1 week or 2 weeks was made an issue. And that it is already to go to the president. I think some legal representatives in the president's office denied that you have consulted with the president. I want to know who that legal representative was. And why the commissioner follow up and you know verifying that this legal representative's version is different from yours. The other one is that you also said that it was agreed that Reverend Francis Garney will convene the National Security Council. Did this happen, and if it did not happen, why? Because all of this whole issue about you not being sensitive to national security come from the Reverend Frank Shekhani. And she was out like us to call Reverend Frank Shekhani to come and explain, because this whole thing of national security arrived out of these evidence to the Chimbala Commission. And then we will consider that request at Korea. Thank you.
That was the last follow-up questions. We'll only ask a few new questions. Yeah, actually, there's a new question on that as well. The follow-up question. It means that I didn't get follow-up questions and questions yet. Maybe let's allow you then, I'll allow you to try to take for it.
Mr. Chairman, the main issue here for me is the issue of insensitivity to national security. And my main concern is that, according to what the advocate was saying, that there was meetings held between the DG of SARS, the DG of NIA, and himself around different issues. My question is there a formal mechanism in this situation between the NDPP as well as other arms of government, including the security services, to ensure that there's consultation so that there's not a clash between issues of national security and promoting prosecutional issues? I'd like to know if there are mechanisms like that in place, and if not, why not, and if there isn't, is there a legislative deficiency that should formalize that kind of relationship? Because it's a great concern that there might be a clash between these two parameters. What I do want to know is that is it right thing that deficiency is planned only on the NDPP or on specifically the aspect of recording? later that should be an efficiency that gets addressed by this house, and not through a process of which only one person.
Thank you for that, Chris.
Thanks, sir. The question of the 2 week, 1 week discussion between the prophet and I arose the cost of cross-examination by the Moroccan Sea. Again, when I was trying to explain that the cause of concern about these national securities or security issues in general, that the fact that to have a warrant for the arrest of a national commissioner and to search his premises is a matter that requires the intervention of the first day as well, to make sure that naturally, then he pays in that same demand. And then when I raised the issue, but then there was this matter between me and the president in terms of creating this environment. Counsel for government accused me of fabricating that discussion between myself and the president. I stood my ground because he detected this in the presence of Reverend Shikai. So I was not coming up with my own intention or lack of the commission. And then in the course of the reporting findings, the person who accepted my question, but indeed there was such a discussion. So the person who accepted my question that there was this 1 week, 2 week issue. But it was never such an issue for the president to persuade me to raise me to say that no. For me, it was the reason that students prefer 2 weeks. And I felt that no sitting with the warrant, no pretend that it's not his holding to show the life of his. Because I wanted them to have the still execution of the warrant. And it was never an issue because the president also in his letter to the minister on Monday, the noon of press for the 15th and 16th, the meeting to the minister. And then on Monday 17th, the minister received a letter from the office of the president, asking the minister to ask me to provide her so that she can give to him the information around this issue of the National Commission. Don't necessarily. This is what led to the letter of the 18th, BB 12. So, the president never wrote it that it's an issue that, you know, one is not enough, he cannot do things that show him. You actually have to extend the statement to the second point on the convening of the meeting of the National Security Council. Because we didn't have to meet with the president on the 16th of September 2007. It was the understanding that Reverend Shikai was then going to convene the meeting of the National Security Council. And then the president asked whether he was prepared to go and brief the National Security Council. And I agreed. I said, I'm ready, I'm going to bring the meeting of the National Security Council in such a meeting, and I'm ready. So I left also the president with that understanding that in the course of that meeting, there was going to be the increasing of the National Security Council. I was never invited to any meeting. That is, I was not invited to any meeting. It was more on the weather
that that is the formal mechanism among the religions.
Well, the DSO not being intelligent agents, but dealing with high information and collection, does not participate in formal intelligence and structure, so to say. But following the Hampshire Commission, the then coordinator of NICOM, the structure that is responsible for coordinating the countries, started inviting the DSO to sit on these meetings. Therefore, when the consideration of the national intelligence assets, the DSO is required to also make an input, particularly one that is related to issues of high. And this is why we are looking at the formal structure that is there, where the DSO is present by this. This is important.
Thank you, Jefferson. I don't know whether that question of who is a Douglas is not related on what my hand was up from Macomb to make a follow-up question after the response of the advocate. Advocate wanted to know whether the law is very clear when you are answering questions. We always indicate that the law is very clear on each agency. I've listened to you saying that in this browser on the you have called two DGs and you were detectives. My question is that, is it also the law very clear that if we got that sensitive report of information, you are not supposed to first consult when I say consult, it's either president or the minister, you must first call the other teaching institution. If and then after that you will be consulting to your consult heads. I don't want to confuse issues yet in saying that, but I wanted to get exactly what way you say that you have called those two teachings and you were the person, and then I didn't hear you say that after you were received the extensive information, you have decided that there is somebody you must account, which is either your president or minister, but you said firstly you went to this, so I'm not clear about what law says about that. So I need just a clarity.
I think it's not that because the full number that was reversed, the reversal right now, and I can sense it. Elsewise.
That's just a question that I will be brief. I think I would need to go into time to actually clarify that that you have been doing your duty diligently. But one thing I want to ask me is, if you did not fail in your duty to insert the DSO, actually, as you yourself said, if you did not really fail to in this duty to insert the DSO, we all have experienced the situation where there was an execution of sanctions. We had a very heavy media involvement, which was very, and the media involvement does create perception of people. You know, it's like a public persecution. I want to know the relationship that was there between the strategy to integrate the media, how was it planned, you know, was, in my opinion, that media involvement had been a little bit destructive. But I want to know from you, because he says you've been insulting them. How did you feel that there should be a Hollywood alert which created some perception? I would like to get to a certain question, because I actually think it's too short. Thank you.
Yeah, that's right. I was going to say.
After listening very carefully to what the advocate has to say about the issue that we are dealing with as a community today, one interesting aspect that one would want to establish from the advocate that relates to cooperative governance structures is the issue among the employer and employee. Before the president was spoken to, we deal with a matter of national security, was informed about the program, the advocate acquired violence before. That's what the advocate is. That's why the advocate should go to the board, by the perception. Whether the warrants were acquired before the meeting of the or after, just to clarify for the aspect, because that matter is very important for the state security. That's the first one, Chairperson. The second one, Chairperson, is only about small report. And at this stage, advocates realize that there is the work is unlawful activity kept by the DSO, and he declared the report illegal. What I want to understand is the action that was taken, because that does not come out as advocates. The action that was taken against the originator of that report. So that is very important to make an understanding. And the reason is within the context of sensitivity. When something like that is a security, a state security, comes up, but the person who is in the advocate's position should be very sensitive and say, this matter is actually a state security, and this has action once again. That's why we established that person who originated this thing, there was an action taken against. Thank you.
Yeah, the last two members of the commentary now, it's a honorable jury called the honorable legislator, not one of the last, and it's this will be the last one. Unless it's the other members of the space, but this will be the last one. Yeah, can we have a
question? In fact, my question was about the principle which was used in the execution of the section and season, where you don't use the state security and you opt for the private one. And I had the fair to say I was looking at the competition between the private security and the state security, because I was saying that the state security attacked the institution which we raised, and then here comes the second the private security. I was thinking about the situation then, which was created, the tension, and the results of all the consequences of it.
So you can appoint the board of that question to not an honorable review.
So there are, I think that's okay to decide what to say, but I agree with responded to with the individual response. But we could go to the question then. Honorable pledges.
Thank you, Chairperson. Follow up from an earlier response from African College of the National Security Council appointed the presidential policy to investigate the Slavs Model Consolidated Report. And there was a whole range of terms on their phones. One of it was to determine where the documents leak from. Now, I've heard African always a response, and it seems to be that he is leaving open a possibility, although he's alleging that the possibility is that the document could possibly have leaked from some South African Secret Service or from here. However, Chairperson, and I'll get to my question now, the task team came to the conclusion after the investigation that the document leaked from the DSO office and from the computer of Ivor Powell. The JSCI, the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence, also investigated this matter in depth with the task team and came to similar findings. Is it now the advocate's contention before this committee that those findings are wrong?
Thank you, Roger. The last person here, the last Paul Hester, will conclude the panel as well.
So it's just one simple question. If Parliament can say, no, advocate, because you must get your job back, which areas would you improve on? Would you handle the Paris Mall report differently than you have done, especially the primary report? That is my question.
Yeah. That's how the issues. That's why I told you that. Not preambles. Not the statement, but the question. That's all. I will have any lady. I don't want that.
Okay. I want you to pass me because I wanted to speak on the matter that you have just put aside around what honorable Chief said. Because I have a view that to change from the legal department, legal people here, the implication of that requirement is not in a way suggesting opening of this and again departing from what we have created as our own program. But that actually I will discuss later on, but I just want to say, because when he puts you on the spot to agree on the calling of a Reverend Francesca, and then you refuse because you wanted to take a chance there and tell him, well, that is not opening up another commission.
Now, we'll rule on that. I think we'll rule on that. That's a request that I think we'll consider it and rule accordingly. Yeah, as I said, that was the last question from all my friends. Then allow the advocate now to respond to these questions. That will take a bit of concern then from the other. Yeah, advocate, good work.
Yes, sir. Another question of the clarity on the law, particularly as it relates to intelligence methods, particularly to governmental intelligence, if any department is to come into the position of intelligence, what's secure or not that. The law says that it doesn't impact all issues, and the official is that it doesn't describe that you must just start with the fact of the case. So that acts for your it does not say so. But actually, this particular issue is that when I take the final report, I don't need it to the institutions that we so I'm going to deal the way we can that is supposed to be in a manner that is expected of it when we receive the data of this nature. So I think in that and it was never an issue, it was never a problem. Mr. Manada and Zini and Mr. Tim Davis, we have had a problem with that as what this is going to say in my conversation, and that I was sharing with them for them to give the mechanism. They did approve it. So that's what I said. I don't know any strategy
but the DSO has when it's carrying out the specific authority. We have never been part of that strategy. That was F-15. The one 2005. That captain who ran to the media when the searches were underway. Mr. Moshe, who spoke was able to say this is what is happening. And people started talking to those areas where the searches were being conducted. Oh, that was my issue. I was not in the office at 4 o'clock in the morning to bring members of the DSO that were involved in those sessions of policy. How easy they to conduct themselves and they turn out their partners. I gave them three instructions of how to make this to conduct themselves. So in one situation where you knew that you were also. And of course, if it should be any complaint, now in the future, it has to be properly investigated in appropriate institutions to be found that people have violated the law in any process or misconducted themselves. I would first want to make sure that, you know, those responsible, you know, are participating in an appropriate fashion. Well, the question of poverty problems, that is what one of our situations. See, that question of our situation does not indicate the situation where it is in the situation of our situation. I put that claim to present it. Actually, it has came out during the Hamas Commission, when it was introduced by that officer, all the men and youth state institutions, particularly law enforcement agencies, needed to cooperate and work together. And what we did was we invoke sections of the law that allow us to, you know, make certain applications for each other. On the question of why. And it was not acting outside of Section 41 from the for us to position. And that's why members who really go back and look at all the submissions to really understand that what actually led to us going to court to ask for this. Last week in June, after Reverend Frank Chikani was informed by Mr. Manhattan that the mechanisms that were put in place were not working, even after the President had given orders that the nation was taking. And as we of now, as we speak now, of now, this is about 18 months down the line. The DSO still does not have the information that it has. From the beginning of 2007 to the order in the newspapers about the subpoena, asking for the same information, which is still not there. One of the members, one thing, please still ask the question that the MPA has been obstructed in carrying out functions in terms of the law. By another state institution, no one here is actually questioning the funding of that. I stand here accused of being insensitive. That's a good thing. I pay for carrying out my functions. And that's the thing. No one has questioned the funding of that. I'm saying that that information that I saw, the first time I informed the President was March 2003. That's absolutely not the information that I got. Why did this one member see data?
what is that they must for approaching the court of law? For the defendant. And how would that be? We go to court to get under the verdict. Is the defendant doesn't provide anything in our law? Well, the question of who's inviting, the question of why it's sexual, section 9, also section, the powers also of the interesting director about people for whom he can call to assist. And then we're talking of IT aspects of the matter. And no one also written the fact that there are issues that is using. What is the example? Why is the NDA saying that? I feel it understand. One person. That tells there is another level of subjectivity.
Yes.
I can't pay the answer to this. I'm a pro, and I'm prepared to take it on that. But the fact is, I think you always think that's the person that I am. I don't know how many times I've been to get the question of ground movement investigation and what I said about it. And then also the question of it, that the man who made it, that says, those are the law. And not. The issue here.
Or the point of order. I mean, I don't know the history of the honor of the ticket. And the fact that if a member is not paid or satisfied with an answer, what stops the member from making a follow-up to get more clarity on the issue? And for members to be treated as if they are smaller children who do not even see more clarity on whatever that they want to know.
Okay, and
now we're to get to that point. Just be alert to that kind of an attitude. We made a quite simple request earlier on that can we not put that on the answer? Can we consider that from members? Can we allow that the people to exhaust these responsibilities? You can be a patient member, sir. Whenever I sign in with one of our colleagues, where we debate issues, please. Don't use all your bullets. No, please. That's very good.
Thank you. Only the investigation of the person report. That's really the task being that was established following the meeting of the National Security Council. And was invited to attend that meeting. It is not taken that there must be an investigation of the support. I've got my full support for that case. I subsequently wrote to the head of the DSO to fully cooperate with the investigation. I called all regional heads and heads of division of the GSO to impress upon the excellent house in our hands. I've already said that at the time when I was out of the office, was a personal business, which was accepted by the time. That investigation was going on. That there was interaction between the head of the DSO and the interaction that a lot of names in the face of the investigation of that. I gave my full support to that. All the time I was told that this level of cooperation was around August. Towards the end of August. And when inquired why is there no cooperation, he said no. The meeting that we had, they were agreed on how to conduct the investigation. But they were saying when media had said that look, they know where the source is coming from. And then the head of the DSO said, tell me, show me how you're able to beat this man. Give me a year, give me two for that. So I said I should get the matter
think doing this is an issue. I think that this has felt the only time that I had a public vote of voice. And I really just want to address that particular issue. And as there was a study in September, so the final ratification is also convenient in my absence. But when the position condemned the finding after I went off and what happened when I was not in office. So I'm not saying that it was wrong. All I'm saying is that if a person then that is fine, then it's also free. As we have mentioned in this problem, then I accept the law and it takes cost. It's a violation of the law. And I cannot be held responsible for that. As if I'm saying that person must not be taken to task or taken to court, that's how we make our music. But then, you know, if you go to my brother.
Thank you very much, Advocate Nicole, for those responses. Before I give over to my co-chair, Jonathan, I want us to address the issue raised by Ivana Kutiri, where she was suggesting that based on some of the questions that are raised, that have raised to various actions. The presidency is sending a detachment tomorrow. That's delayed by the National Justice. Now, it is the company who can respond to the president on the issues that were raised yesterday. Now, with that, here's where they're listening. If we need for them to reinforce their attachments, let's see tomorrow. But the fellow states here, the only person who will be speaking on the other presidency is the National Justice. So I'm only wondering your request to submit to my colleague.
I'm going to ask you tomorrow.
And probably look at the other workers.
feeling is that level plan is the third aspect of the law if there are any such elements. And make a positive contribution to such an improvement if the need to improve the law, if the need to strengthen relationships and cooperation amongst law and public services. Need to really look at how to strengthen our public awareness generally on issues of personal security. And everybody has to do the public sense. This is the first that I believe that can be looked at. But I cannot say I'm going to improve on this particular issue, but I'll have to take the totality of all the things and discussions that have been raised.
Yes, I think we would have a good
take into consideration during the writing. Because part of the issue, when you open a meeting this morning, you clearly outline a mandate based on what is before us, the reports and submissions and so forth. And during the response of the advocate, because he raised a concern and even questioned our objectivity in this particular exercise, particularly in relation to the question of nobody questioning the role of SARS. So I thought maybe in your regular that reassure you of our objectivity and the fact that we're not subjective, not unless we have seen someone that's who's very subjective in dealing with this situation.
Based on a letter which was written by the state president, dated on the 8th December 2008. And the letter is that here, Madam Speaker, in Rinka, the National Director of Public Prosecution Advocate, VP Ikori, after careful consideration of the report from Dr. F. Chiwala, I have decided to remove Advocate Ikori from the office of National Director of Public Prosecutions. The background, school, and reason for my decision are set out in a letter addressed by me to the attorneys acting on behalf of Advocate VPD Bowling. A copy of the letter is enclosed here. As indicated in the letter, the supporting document referred to therein is also enclosed. This reference to Parliament is in accordance with the provisions of Section 12(6) of the National Prosecuting Authority Act, Act 32 of 1998. I accordingly respectfully request Parliament to deal with this matter in accordance with the provisions of Section 12(6)(c) of the said action. I only wanted to remind us of the letter and the class of the Minister today, when we set out a press conference, this deals with the letter of advocate recorded, but only being sought to consider the issue which is already taken by the state president. So we follow what the parliament requires us to do. So that is why we give an opportunity to the advocate because we are considering this matter. And in the process of doing that, we engage what there is a basic very environment of virtue where robust debates takes place. And normally between the majority party and the opposition there is robustness in debate. So the lack of questioning may be perceived as objective, but lack of questioning may be perceived as objective. So that is why earlier on I requested the advocate before not to address, at this site. Because the impression is created, and then the fight is
between Advocate Vigoli and the majority party, which is not the case. So I think this is Advocate Vigoli address with the chair or the co-chairperson, such that whatever question you respond to to this ad hoc committee, such that everybody benefits from it. So if there was an interesting thing that is subjectivity to the final question, I don't think that's the case. My understanding is that there is robustness. Because at the same time, I don't want to suggest that this side is subjective, this side is objective. I'm sure that all of us ask questions. And those questions we ask, in a clear, genuine way, manner, so as to, at the end of the day, seek answers to these questions. So what I want to say is that we know that we have discussed a number of things recently, advised by the Commission, is why Advocate Vigoli should not be fired or dismissed. And we also look into the aspects, five questions which were raised in the report, which from the look of them, the State President concentrated in. So I'm simply saying that the totality of those issues will assist us in coming up with a new issue, because as far as our program is concerned, today we have the implementation of the presidency. Then the following day, on the 22nd, we have deliberations on presentations. After that, we are going to have deliberations on the president's decision. So what we do, we deal with presentations as a committee, and after that we concentrate as a committee on the president's decision. And the decision was to dismiss Advocate Vigoli. So that will be on the 22nd. Then on the 27th, we'll deal with the issue again on the president's decision. 29th, we'll deal with the voting and adoption of the committee's report. So that's going to happen in terms of going to write the report, and from there sit down at the committee and adopt it. Then the 30th of January, 2009.
I'm sorry, but you said and adopt origin.
That's what I'm avoiding you to say, because they were jumping the car. adopted or rejected. But when you vote, there is no rejection. There will be adoption. Then the last day, at the 30th, on the 30th, we'll have a National Assembly debate and votes on the matter. And on the 10th of February, the National Council of Provinces debates and votes on the matter. So this is the program as it stands. So what I'm going to do at this point in time in conclusion is to invite people in the next deliberation meeting tomorrow, and the president will be dealing with their sides. And that is, it's confirmed that the same day. So you are invited to this venue, and we invite the normal people to say Advocate Vigoli won't come because the sitting here is about his dismissal. So he's also invited to come. But the presentation will be done by the presidency. So I just want to conclude by thanking sincerely. But I should be saying humbly Advocate Vigoli, but because of non-partisan shift platform occupied, I just thank Advocate Vigoli for what done and come up with the presentation. Which presentation very informative, which informed and brought light to many of us here. So I want to thank him for doing that and responding to the request. that they should be afraid. A lot of issues raised here. And the last three different members of Parliament who made my chairing, my facilitating very easy, because most of them were dissident. And the last people in the audience interested in this in other proceedings to see a democracy. They just wanted to thank all of you. With the powers vested on me, I want to close this. I wish to close this meeting by inviting you for lunch. If you don't have enough lunch, we shall give priority to members. And for the president and